This is Jordan Seculo before the Senate Intelligence Committee. All of the intel chiefs dispute the fake news accounts about pressure from the White House on the Russia investigation.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In your experience, would it be in any way typical for a president to ask questions or bring up an ongoing FBI investigation, particularly if that investigation concerns associates and individuals that might be associated with the president's campaign or his activities?
In the 3+ years that I have been the director of the National Security Agency, to the best of my recollection, I have never been directed to do anything I believe to be illegal, immoral, unethical, or inappropriate. And to the best of my recollection, during that same period of service, I do not recall ever feeling pressured to do so.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Did the president, the reports that are out there, ask you in any way, shape, or form to back off or downplay the Russia investigation?
I'm not going to discuss the specifics of conversations with the President of the United States, but I stand by the comment I just made to you, sir.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so get this, folks. This is, of course, the day before the quote-unquote, I think, media hype Comey hearing, where Jim Comey, of course, surprise, surprise, because he doesn't want to go to jail over perjury, is not going to say that President Trump obstructed justice. We've said that on a number of broadcasts, including our own, because he didn't. And instead, this will be a hearing about Jim Comey trying to make Jim Comey out to be someone employable again in the future. That's really what this is about. Now, Democrats will try to use it to damage the president, obviously. But right now, we've got a Senate Intelligence Committee, the same Senate Intelligence Committee that we'll hear from former FBI Director Comey tomorrow. And they are interviewing, their witnesses are Rod Rosenstein, who's the deputy AG, but acting AG for the Russia investigation. Mike Rogers, who is the NSA director, National Security Administration. Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence. And Andrew McCabe, the acting FBI director. Now, let's remember with Andrew McCabe, he's a partisan. I mean, his wife was receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars from Terry McAuliffe, the governor of Virginia, a close Clinton ally. But Senator Rubio asked just a very direct question to all four of these individuals about the White House trying to influence the investigation. And take a listen, fake news folks, Byte 18.
Was anyone aware of any effort by anyone in the White House or elsewhere to seek advice on how to influence any investigation?
My answer is absolutely no, Senator.
Are you talking about me? No.
No.
If you're asking whether I'm aware of requests to other people in the intelligence community, I am not.
Again, folks, our dad, Jay Sekulow, our chief counsel, ACLJ, joining us now. Dad, those were all four witnesses from these intelligence, what they're calling intelligence chiefs, testifying today at the Senate Intelligence Committee in a public hearing, and all four under oath said no outside influence from the White House trying to impede any of their investigations or even anyone coming to them saying that they were influenced by the White House to stop an investigation.
Well, you're absolutely correct, because there has been none. So this is a media put-up regarding how and the way in which this intelligence, you know, supposedly influencing from the president and others in the administration was taking place. And what do we find out? Now confirming what James Clapper said, now confirming what, frankly, James Comey has said. So what do you have? A bag full of nothing. Nothing. So they are creating this media hype. And I think that asking those intelligence directors that should be case closed.
Yeah.
But it won't be, because it's Washington, D.C., where I'm talking to everybody from right now. But this is the politics of it. We're also giving you the legal reality. There's nothing there. You heard it from the intelligence chiefs. No collusion, no undue influence, no pressure to stop an investigation, nothing. So you know what the Senate and the House has got to realize now? They wanted a special counsel. They've got it. Now they got to live with the consequences of that.
Yeah, folks, so we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, tell them how to interact with us.
That's right. You're right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can find us broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope or ACLJ.org. That's Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, you can just search for Jay Sekulow. We're also broadcasting on ACLJ.org, the ACLJ app. And again, phone lines have just opened up. If you want your voice heard today, this is the time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. Right back with more on Jay Sekulow.
A new bombshell from Planned Parenthood's latest report shows abortions are going up and abortion industry profits are skyrocketing. Every year, big abortion slaughters over a million babies. That's two babies killed a minute every hour of every day. It's horrendous and unthinkable. At the ACLJ, we're working to end these atrocities. We're directly engaged in the biggest pro-life cases in America. We just filed our critical reply brief in the biggest pro-life case we've taken to the Supreme Court in years to overturn a dangerous decision that could shut down pro-life pregnancy centers. The first of two major pro-life cases that we're taking to the Supreme Court this summer. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And to win at the Supreme Court, we need your tax-deductible support right now. Stand with the ACLJ. Support our work. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal. Complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. You may think, hey, it's just the Comey hearing tomorrow. Well, that's not actually true. There's a hearing right now with four intel chiefs. You've got the acting FBI director. We've got a new FBI director nominee announced, who's an attorney out of Atlanta, was a former director of the Criminal Division at the Department of Justice. He was announced by President Trump via tweet this morning. Again, he will go through the confirmation process. He's someone who served in the Bush administration. I think will be easy to confirm. Again, it will be good to have an actual director of the FBI. We're going to do more research into him specifically, but there's a lot else going on. Obviously, that is big news. You've got four intel chiefs acting right now. So you got acting FBI director. You have the director of national intelligence. You have the head of the NSA. And you've got the deputy AG, but who is the acting AG, Rod Rosenstein, in charge of the Russia investigation, all before the Senate Intelligence Committee today, before Jim Comey. They all have to testify under oath. Let me play this bite again for everybody. This is first Senator Rubio asking, has the White House tried to influence any investigation? He asked all four of these individuals. They are under oath, folks. If they lie, they're in legal trouble. They could go to jail. Bite 18.
Was anyone aware of any effort by anyone in the White House or elsewhere to seek advice on how to influence any investigation?
My answer is absolutely no, Senator.
Are you talking about me? No.
No.
If you're asking whether I'm aware of requests to other people in the intelligence community, I am not.
Again, no, 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 and no. But, Dad, they went a step further as well. Jay Sekulow, our chief counsel, joined us. He's in Washington, D.C., because Senator Rubio asked just outright, has anybody in any administration now or in the past ever asked you to issue a statement that you knew to be false? They all answer. Take a listen. Bite 17.
Has anyone ever asked you, now or in the past, this administration or any administration, to issue a statement that you knew to be false?
For me, I stand by my previous statement. I've never been directed to do anything in the course of my 3-plus years as the director of the National Security
Not directed,
Agency
asked.
That I felt to be inappropriate, nor have I felt pressured to do so.
Have you ever been asked to say something that isn't true?
I stand by my previous statement, sir.
Director Coates?
I do likewise.
Yeah, I mean, so again, the idea here that any false statements, any improper intervention into an investigation specific to this White House, the Trump White House, and Dad, we're being told absolutely not by people that are a whole lot more trustworthy than a fired and upset,
angry
ex-employee.
Former director, a fired, angry former FBI director who grandstanded during the entire election process, intervening in the election three separate times, and taking it a step further. So now we've got all these no on influence, no on evidence of Russian collusion, whatever that means, by the way. And that includes coming from Mark Warner, the senior senator from Virginia, who said he has no smoking gun. There's a smoke. He doesn't even define what that is. So what do you have right now? Well, this is politics, folks, and this is politics in Washington, D.C., and this is a distraction. So instead of focusing on, or what they think, instead of focusing on tax reform, repealing and replacing Obamacare, you've got to have hearings on this. Supposedly, the hearings today were really going to concentrate on FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, what needs to be done there. Instead, what happens? The exact opposite. What does it really get them in? They had some FISA questions, but what are most of the questions? Russia collusion. Washington, the elites in Washington and the press corps here will not let this go. Administration has to do is fire back aggressively. That's what they're doing. And now you got testimony under oath. So what's Jim Comey going to say? He's going to say it's contrary to all of these other people? I don't think so.
Jim Comey is going to be used by Democrats tomorrow. He's going to try to use it to rebuild his name. But let's remind everybody, Democrats can't stand him either. The Republicans don't like him. The Democrats blame him for the election. And to some extent, I mean, they have an argument there because he improperly intervened politically
in a
presidential election. I mean, back and forth. And Dad, there is this whole talk that Jim Comey is going to try and be this facts guy and that he's going to say, I'm not going to rule on whether it's obstruction of justice. And I'm not going to come out and say that because that's not my job. Except for he had no problem doing that for Hillary Clinton, though, and coming out and saying, nothing to prosecute here.
Right. So it's a hypocritical standard on his part. And that's a very good point you raised, Jordan. And number two, and I think this is equally at issue here. This is a guy that said he got, quote, mildly nauseous when people thought he intervened in a campaign and leaked out. And by the way, he's leaking his testimony out. Does that not tell you something?
Yeah.
Leaked out that his testimony tomorrow is going to say he was, quote, uncomfortable by some of the president's comments.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Mildly nauseous and uncomfortable are not a crime in the United States of America.
Yeah, I mean, the idea, if we have an FBI director who ran to Attorney General Sessions whining, is how Drudge Report said it.
Yeah, do not
I don't want to be alone with Donald Trump.
Oh,
these are not the kind of people you want to be FBI director then. I mean, whether or not they think that's appropriate. These are the guys that are supposed to keep us safe from organized crime, gangs, and terrorism. And they are afraid of the President of the United States, then they are not the right person for the job. And they go whining to everybody. It tells you a lot. All these people say, oh, Jim Comey, this upright, moral character, blah, 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 blah. He's afraid of President Trump. He's afraid of strong leaders, and he can't deal with them. So what will he do tomorrow when he is no longer able to be that, you know, grandstanding FBI director who loves to get attention and instead is asked, so you're able to make decisions, prosecutorial decisions, on whether criminal activity was conducted by Hillary Clinton, but you won't do it about the President of the United States?
Your conversation with the president. So, look, the president could have claimed executive privilege. I think it was wise that he did not. He could have, and it would have been legally, by the way, defensible.
Yeah, I think we've got a little break up in your phone.
Yeah.
There, Wall Street Journal said, here's a few questions that should be asked of former FBI Director Comey. And, Dad, I wanted to get your thoughts on it. First, they said, because he's refused to answer seven questions that were sent to him by the committee, which were mostly focused on how the memo that he wrote to himself ended up in the press. That's question one. How did your memos end up in the press? Question two, if he created other memos, did he create other memos about interactions with Department of Justice officials or Mr. Trump? If he shared those memos with people inside DOJ, and does he have copies? And then whether or not the FBI probe of Clinton emails was triggered by phony documents provided by Russian intelligence.
Russia, right.
I mean, he's got a lot to answer for now that is unrelated to the idea of whether or not he was intimidated by President Trump.
Well, look, I mean, the best question is, you know, a self-serving memo after the fact, after you've been fired, that you then leak out? I mean, let's talk about the credibility of that. Not very high.
Yeah.
That's not credible. Then you ask, these are all good questions. Are there other memos? And by the way, why did you share this with your staff? And why did you allow it to be leaked? And why did you not, if you felt this way, go to the Department of Justice and say, I think there may be an obstruction of justice here? issue here, which is required under 18 U.S.C. 4. Why didn't he not do that? Because he never was going to do it, period. Wasn't going to happen.
All right, folks, we're going to go to your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep.
If you want to talk to us on air, let's go to the phones.
All right, Bruce is calling in St. Petersburg, Florida. Bruce, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is, why isn't there a remedy in our government to stop the investigation after 5 months of investigating? Nothing's been shown. It would think that the senators or congressmen could just say, hey, look, there's nothing here.
Well,
cease and desist. It doesn't seem fair to the president.
I will say, Bruce, and I'll go to my dad on this as well. I think, Bruce, the congressional role is coming to an end after this week.
Yes.
I think after Jim Comey testifies, the special counsel that's been appointed, Bob Mueller, is not going to allow a lot of other witnesses to keep testifying. Now, they did get some documentation from Mike Flynn, documents, but again, that would be documents that were also available to the special counsel here. So the congressional role, like it or not, you're starting to see that today, Dad, actually, in the hearing,
yeah.
Because in some of the answers where they're pressing, they're saying, hey, I can't answer this. I've got a special counsel investigating, and I got to go to them first before I answer. And that has really upset some of these Democrat and liberal senators. And
they asked for this.
Right.
They wanted this. They wanted a special counsel. They were screening. It's independent counsel, special prosecutor. Well, they got one. So now they're upset that their jurisdiction is being trimmed. Well, what lawyer in their right mind is going to allow their client to go up and appear before a House or Senate committee when all of this is going on?
Yep.
You're not.
Yeah.
So they hoisted this on themselves. So the left screaming, you know what, scream all you want. At the rate, self-inflicted here, there's a special counsel. We'll deal with him.
I do think another aspect that needs to be clarified is basically that Bruce asked about was, can these investigations go on forever? Dad, we got about a minute left in this segment. The question is, on the congressional side, sure, they can keep going. But on the special counsel side, this is not like the past with Ken Starr. This can be shut down at any moment by the Department of Justice, at any time.
They can, but these things tend to not go quickly, as you know. So, I mean, generally they've gone, I mean, people are not going to want to hear this, but 3 to 5 years. I don't think that's what this should be. This should be months, not years. But I think, you know, we've got to, listen, you've got to prepare aggressively to respond. That's what we're going to do.
Yep. All right, folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. And you can get a comment in. This is from George that just said, how can we trust that Comey will even tell the truth?
Well, he's under oath. He is under oath. So I think he's going to be very careful not to commit perjury.
He just may say nothing at all.
I think he's going to be pretty bland. Now, Democrats will try to blow out these bland statements and make them, you know, a big deal. But he's not going to accuse President Trump of a crime. Now, he's going to get pressure from Democrats, though, to go further than what he's trying to leak out that he's going to say. So many leaks from Jim Comey, even outside of government. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. A new bombshell from Planned Parenthood's latest report shows abortions are going up and abortion industry profits are skyrocketing. Every year, big abortion slaughters over 1 million babies. That's 2 babies killed a minute every hour of every day. It's horrendous and unthinkable. At the ACLJ, we're working to end these atrocities. We're directly engaged in the biggest pro-life cases in America. We just filed our critical reply brief in the biggest pro-life case we've taken to the Supreme Court in years to overturn a dangerous decision that could shut down pro-life pregnancy centers. The first of 2 major pro-life cases that we're taking to the Supreme Court this summer. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And to win at the Supreme Court, we need your tax-deductible support right now. Stand with the ACLJ. Support our work. Call 1-877-877. 989-2255 or go online, aclj.org.
Out. There was a lot of news last night, folks, that the director of national intelligence, who was a Trump appointee, former U.S. Senator Dan Coats, was also pressured by President Trump, supposedly like Jim Comey, to intervene in pressuring the FBI to drop the Flynn investigation. Now, we've already kind of discussed it. These kind of requests, by the way, are not in themselves illegal or even raise a specter of kind of outside the norm, because the director of the executive branch happens to be the president of the United States. But he was asked, pushed on this by Senator Warner. And so take a listen first to Byte 14, but then Director Coats, he does clarify this based off the news article that came out. So first Byte 14, actually let's go right to, let's play Byte, it's Byte 13 with Coats and then Byte 15.
Well, I thought you also said it, Sask, if brought before the investigative committee, you would quote, certainly provide them with what I know and what I don't know. We are before that investigative committee.
Well, I stand by my previous statement that we are in a public session here, and I do not feel that it's appropriate for me to address confidential information. Most of the information I've shared with the president obviously is directed toward intelligence matters during our Oval briefings.
Yeah, so first he says that, which makes total sense, but then he does clarify this story that was out there that he was somehow pressured to intervene and take a listen to this, Byte 15.
When I was asked yesterday to respond to a piece that I was told was going to be written and printed in the Washington Post this morning, my response to that was, in my time of service, which is in interacting with the President of the United States or anybody in his administration, I have never been pressured. I have never felt pressure to intervene or interfere in any way and shaping intelligence in a political way or in relationship to an ongoing investigation.
So again, Senator Warner did not, of course, you know, they kept pushing that with Senator Rubio as well. The Democrats didn't get the answers they wanted. I want to go to Stan Bennett, our director of government affairs. Stan, right now, these four intel chiefs who are testifying before the Senate Intelligence Committee are completely undercutting the Democrat narrative. And they're doing so in just a kind of straightforward way. I mean, they're under oath and they're saying, you know, as much as they can say without it violating either executive privilege because they are actually in government or to the special counsel's investigation. But they're all to these direct questions about White House interference. They say no, 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 and no. The Democrats so far are not getting what they want out of these hearings.
Essentially, what you've had, Jordan, is just more and more added to the record on the side of no undue influence. And I think you've probably covered this to some extent. But today's testimony, Jordan, this is a whole lot more credible than what you're going to hear tomorrow, because these people have an obligation to tell the truth. And quite frankly, if they told a narrative that was not accurate, then their jobs would be on the line. The other thing I want to point out to you real quickly, Director Mueller, who's the special counsel in charge, and Director Comey, Jordan, they are very friendly. They have a long history together. Director Comey should have every confidence that if he went and gave his testimony to Director Mueller, it would be handled with care. And yet he is choosing, it's in many ways his choice, he is choosing to testify tomorrow in open session. This is about one thing. This is about Jim Comey liking the attention, liking the cameras. He wants a chance to testify in public. He's not looking to get to the bottom of this. He's looking for a moment for Jim Comey.
Yeah, I mean, folks, I do believe that there's going to be a lot of hoopla tomorrow. I know I'm on Fox Business today about this hearing. I'll be on Fox Business tomorrow about the Comey hearing. And after that hearing, I know our dad, who is in Washington, D.C., will be doing a lot of media as well. So we're going to have to address it. And I think for those of us that believe in the conservative agenda of this president and want to see Congress get health care done and tax reform done, that we folks have got to stand and fight on this and stop the distraction, then let it be up to the special counsel. That's done like a normal investigation. You don't get a lot of information, which is the normal kind of way law enforcement works. And then ultimately, if there's any wrongdoing, those people get in trouble. They go through a normal trial. If there's not, there's not. I mean, you know, just let that play out, and then Congress should be able to get back to work. Logan, let's take either some comments or a phone call.
All right, let's go ahead and take some calls. Let's go to Jennifer, who is calling from Los Angeles, California, on line two. Jennifer, you there?
Hi. I want to thank you so much for making us publicly aware of the hearings today, because with the media being so aligned to the shadow government, we're only going to have a news conference in L.A. tomorrow on Comey. And my observation about him is that he strikes a very halo effect tall pose.
Yeah.
But I think he's so egotistical that the bottom line is we're only getting a myopic view of this whole entire hearing process. And what I wanted to thank you also for earlier in the week when you commented about the details of this travel ban being considered by the Supreme Court, until you mentioned the time limits, where I currently live in Los Angeles, the only thing we hear is a Muslim ban. And so yep. The world at large is only hearing a very, very one-sided view of things.
Of course.
And I want to thank you so very much for what you actually share so we can see it.
Hey.
And I want to let you know that I pray for you constantly.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. And there are a lot of people who don't like the information that we share because it undercuts their fake and phony narratives. You know, we get to the bottom of it. We're honest. We were honest brokers during the election, which was a very a hot-button election and a lot of controversies there. We spoke to all of them. We're not hiding from the facts. We don't try to misuse the facts or the statements. We try to give you the honest truth about all of what's going on here, and there's a lot going on. Now, I will say this about Jim Comey. I agree with my dad. I've said it before publicly. I've called him a liar. I don't believe he's a credible witness. I think he became the worst of what the Washington swamp means. And he, whether or not he started his career as someone honorable, he became a part of the political machine of Washington, D.C. And honestly, I mean, and this is my opinion, wasn't smart enough to deal inside politics. So he could have been the FBI director looking at criminal activity, looking at terrorism and keeping us safe and gangs and violence, that kind of activity, crimes. But when he got involved in politics, it was way over his head. And, you know, it made him sick to his stomach. And you know what? That's not someone who should be FBI director. Someone shouldn't be FBI director who can't stand being with the president of the United States elected by the American people. Someone shouldn't be the FBI director who has to go and leak out his memos from his friends after he gets fired and whining again about having to meet with the president of the United States. This guy, Jim Comey, it just got way too deep and way over his head. Bad motives, good motives, doesn't matter. He is not a credible witness anymore. He's lied to Congress, constantly having to correct his statements on serious matters, throwing Clinton officials under the bus still, as of his last testimony, and that was it wrong. He's also said to Congress under oath, do we have that soundbite? We need to pull that soundbite, where he says there's been no influence. We're going to play that for you in the second half. So what's he going to say tomorrow after he's under oath as FBI director said no pressure on the Russian investigation, no influence by the White House? Now he's going to try to blame the President of the United States for that, but oh, it's not obstruction. And again, folks, we got a lot to talk about. We want you to share this with your friends and family if you're joining us on social media, on Facebook and Periscope. If you're on radio, Logan, tell people if they don't get the full hour of the broadcast, how they can stay with us.
Yes, you can find us online, ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSecHill, and Periscope. We broadcast live video. You can get audio only if you need it on ACLJ.org and also on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPad, Apple TV, and Roku. We'll be right back with more on JSecHill.
A new bombshell from Planned Parenthood's latest report shows abortions are going up and abortion industry profits are skyrocketing. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And to win at the Supreme Court, we need your tax-deductible support right now. Stand with the ACLJ. Support our work. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online, aclj.org.
Okay, so I was in the car last night making a run to the store. And I hear Don Lemon on CNN. And he said, we are hours away from the Comey hearings beginning. Uh-huh. And then he said 35 hours. Oh, and then he said, wait, no, really more like 36 hours. And I thought to myself, 36 hours, how much can happen and change the world? Again, the way the media has created a circus, that this is Watergate level hearings.
I mean, even Fox has a timer going right now. There's a timer. 21 hours.
And I think that's because they have to, because everyone else has got it.
Oh, you got it.
People want to know if they can watch it.
Must see TV.
It's going into network too, Logan. They're going to cover this on the network television. So NBC, ABC, CBS.
Cutting in live?
Live. The entire hearing, gavel to gavel.
That's insane.
I mean, this is...
You never hear that ever for anything, other than the president actually making some form of speech or statement.
Like about a war or like...
Right,
like
an address to the nation.
Yeah.
You never see them pre-programming. It's because they know the ratings are going to be huge. And I have a feeling people are going to be majorly disappointed.
Jim Comey is a majorly disappointing person. Yeah. He doesn't ever answer questions really excitingly.
Boring.
He's boring. He's dull. He tries to fake like he was a good FBI director. He gets nauseous. He's afraid of the president. Don't leave me alone with the president. Come on. He's an adult man. He's supposed to be the top law enforcement official for our country. He's supposed to be directing the FBI, and he can't be in a room with the president of the United States without being scared and having to run to Jeff Sessions about it. This is a weak man who is not credible. And when I say weak, I mean mentally. He wasn't able to get involved. You know, he tried to get involved into politics, and he got shot down immediately. He had no idea how to handle it. I believe he was sick over it. You know why? He wasn't up to the job of investigating Hillary Clinton. He wasn't up to the job of figuring all of that out and deciding when to speak and when not to speak. And instead of focusing on real law enforcement issues, he tried to get into politics. And I think he knows he did. He rightfully was fired as FBI director, and he should not be able to be a credible witness tomorrow. And I hope the Democrats remember that if he tries to pull a stunt, that he told them all that he had no interference. And by the way, so did his deputy today. Now acting FBI director, Andrew McCabe, gets a very easy question from Senator Roy Blunt. And a yes or no answer, take a listen, Byte 24.
And you would characterize your quote as no effort to impede the Russian investigation as still accurate?
That's correct.
No effort to impede the investigation. That's all Jim Comey is talking about. He is not going to be testifying tomorrow about the investigation. So you're not going to get information on that. And they've been clear. That is going to the special counsel. All he is communicating about is whether or not he was being influenced improperly. And everybody today, and these are including some partisan folks who are not fans of the president, is saying no, 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 and no. There's four individuals testifying. Folks, and Comey's testified to that as well. We're going to pull that soundbite for you. Let's take a phone call, Logan.
Here's a quick comment, actually. Yeah. Cindy said, will Comey be able to plead the fifth tomorrow?
I mean, he could, but he won't because he asked to testify publicly.
He's a showman.
And he's kind of said, you know, he'll say, I won't answer because of the special counsel. So it won't be pleading the fifth. It'll be...
due to an ongoing investigation.
Yeah,
That whole nonsense we've heard a thousand
different
times.
Different than pleading the fifth. Because he's not going to say anything that would incriminate him, because he's not going to claim that anyone did anything illegal. He's going to say, the way I interpreted our conversation, I thought was inappropriate. I didn't feel comfortable. None of that is a crime. And I want that to be clear to everybody. Let's go to the phones now.
All right, let's go to William, who is calling in Macon, Georgia, on line two. William, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Jordan? This is my thing. You know, we already pretty much know when it comes to this Comey hearing that he's already pretty much trying to cook up something that he can to sway away from the hard questions. But my prayer and my concern is that those who are investigating him and those who ask him the questions, that they won't go easy on him, and that they will answer him all the hard questions that he's been swaying away from, where he has no choice but to be accountable to those things, because he's been trying to duck and dodge all this time.
Yeah, he's going to – the only thing he's going to be able to duck and dodge on is – the actual investigation itself, which he's fired FBI director. I think he's going to get a lot of tough questions, because if he doesn't say what the Democrats want him to say about Donald Trump, they're going to get mad.
Absolutely.
So they want him to say it's obstruction of justice, in his opinion at least, or at least in your opinion, former director. And I don't know if he'll say that, so he'll make them mad. He's already made Republicans mad. He made them all mad. So it should be a very tough day. It's why I think Donald Trump said good luck to Jim Comey, and my dad said he should be worried.
A new bombshell from Planned Parenthood's latest report shows abortions are going up and abortion industry profits are skyrocketing. Every year, big abortion slaughters over a million babies. That's two babies killed a minute every hour of every day. It's horrendous and unthinkable. At the ACLJ, we're working to end these atrocities. We're directly engaged in the biggest pro-life cases in America. We just filed our critical reply brief in the biggest pro-life case we've taken to the Supreme Court in years to overturn a dangerous decision that could shut down pro-life pregnancy centers. The first of two major pro-life cases that we're taking to the Supreme Court this summer. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And to win at the Supreme Court, we need your tax-deductible support right now. Stand with the ACLJ. Support our work. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal. Complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I'm about to get to your phone calls on these hearings. Again, everybody's getting ready for the Comey hearings. Yay. I mean, it's like, how many times is this guy going to be able to try and confuse the American people and I think also damage our country, which he did leading up to our presidential election. Certainly, you could say that the FBI director improperly got involved, whether or not how much influence he had could be its own investigation, right? I mean, we have how much did the Russians investigate? How much did Jim Comey change the outcome or impact the outcome of the presidential election? That is a question to ask. But there's also big news because his replacement has been announced by President Trump. This is not a name most of you will know. Christopher Wray to be the next FBI director. He is, just so you know, right now he's in private practice. But he was Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Department of Justice Criminal Division. So that would be, again, a very a normal stepping stone to FBI director because you were in charge of DOJ's criminal prosecution side. He comes out of the Bush years of the Department of Justice. So this is a normal kind of Republican appointee, but not an extremely partisan person by any means or any reports. Actually was very, worked closely with Comey, Mueller. I mean, he comes out of that world. Now, to me, that could raise some questions about him from the conservative side, but I do believe he is going to be an easy confirmation. It's important to get a good FBI director in and that can work with Senator Sessions. I believe now this Intelligence Committee hearing is wrapped up in the United States Senate, and basically they have all said what we know to be true, that no, there's been no White House influence on any of their investigations, and no one's asked them to do anything improper. But Comey comes tomorrow, and Lord only knows what he is going to try and say to remake him. This is really what it's about, Logan. He may want to take dings at the president, and that may be part of what he has to do to remake himself, but this is about rebranding Jim Comey.
Absolutely. You know, he's had flack from both sides now, has dealt with a lot of issues. He became a villain, a hero, a villain, has flip-flopped a few times from the mainstream media and from the point of view from both Republicans and Democrats. So this is his time to shine. I think he's going to fall flat on his face. That's just been historically what he's done, whether if you remember the press conferences, yep, where it's always, we're going one way, other, and then we're going to swerve you in at the end and say, well, I'm doing nothing about it. I think exactly what we're going to hear tomorrow. And if we don't, I suspect it to be very mixed reactions from both sides.
A couple other news items, then we're going to get right to your calls and focus back on this. One, ISIS, and this is very unusual, carried out two terror attacks in Iran.
right?
Now during Ramadan, one in the parliament, one on a the shrine to the first Ayatollah Khomeini. People have been killed, many wounded. One was a bombing. One was a video ISIS actually put up of armed gunmen that stormed the parliament there. Again, you've got that Sunni Shia divide, and remember that the Iran is aligned with Russia in backing the Assad regime, which ISIS is also fighting. So, again, that is unusual. And an eighth victim was found in the London terror attack in the River Thames. That this was, again, they were searching the river there. I know it sounds gruesome because people were jumping out of the way and the cars were hitting. That vehicle was actually hitting people into the river, and they found a person who was killed. So it's eight people who were killed in that terrorist attack in London over the weekend. That was also an ISIS terror attack. But we do want to get back to the news we've been focusing on. I just didn't want you all to miss that. And let's go right to the phones.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Jay, who's in Orlando, Florida. Thanks for holding, Jay. You've been all about 35 minutes. We appreciate it.
I want to talk about the legal ramifications of the notes or these so-called memos that nobody's ever seen. And I hope you listen to my whole concern here, because here's what I'm going to talk about. So do we know if Comey took the notes talking to the president directly? Did the president have knowledge that he was doing the notes? Or did Comey, after the conversation, go back to his office
and then rewrite what
he did? If he did that, then does that change the relevance?
Okay, so in a normal situation, an FBI director, these would be considered contemporaneous notes. If he took these notes immediately following a meeting, this would be something that could be admissible, you know, in a proceeding. Again, it would be up to juries to decide how meaningful that should be taken, and the triers of fact or law, the judge as well. And in light of Jim Comey's situation, I think, though, in the normal practice, those notes could be used effectively by, you know, prosecution. Because of the politics that he's gotten involved in and the leaking of it, and whether or not they even existed and how contemporaneous were they. I mean, the committees that are going to be questioning him tomorrow, unless something changes in the next 24 hours, the Senate Intelligence Committee has not gotten these memos. So they won't. They will only know about what has been leaked. Now, they can ask him about him, and we'll see what he answers about it. But I do believe, again, his credibility is so low right now that if there was anything to prosecute here in the investigation of Russia, you wouldn't want to use anything from Jim Comey to go after anybody from the Trump team. I mean, that's what I believe. I think he's that discredited when it comes to the last few years of his last year and a half or so of his tenure at the FBI, of his only very short tenure as FBI director.
All right, give us a call. We got some lines open now that we took a bunch of calls. 1-800-684-3110. We got three lines open. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, and I think Than is still joining us, our director of government affairs. Than, it is going to be a circus, though, tomorrow. I mean, I want people to understand that. I mean, as much as we want to cut through to the truth, do we expect that hearing to be about the same kind of, like, about, you know, 2.5 hours or so publicly? I know there's a closed-door hearing as well, but publicly sometime, you know, between 10 to 12:30 or so Eastern time, is somewhere in that range? Or could it go longer?
Yeah, well, it could go longer. I think every senator on that panel is going to want to get their time in front of the camera, so I don't think it's going to be a short hearing. I would echo what Logan said, though. I mean, Senate Intel Committee hearings, Jordan, they're not exactly made for TV. I mean, no. There's a reason they're usually on C-SPAN 3, so people might be disappointed with the actual proceedings. Let me say this, though, about the memo that the callers just talked about. Senators need to ask them two questions about this. First of all, it was only leaked after the fact when it benefited exactly one person, Jim Comey. Number one, he should be asked about that. Number two, Jordan, why was that the only memo that leaked? If he takes copious memos, if he takes copious notes, why don't we have the memo about the Lynch and Clinton meeting and his decision to intervene in the elections? If he's going to selectively leak memos, or if his staff is going to selectively leak memos, where are the other memos that he took? He should be asked and made to answer both of those questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, Than is exactly right. I hope that those questions get asked. I know we've talk to some of these senators on the committee. I mean, that's proper to say, hey, shouldn't you ask about this? The American people want to know these questions. They want to know the answers to this, and to push Jim Comey. Let's hear from you all. You know, we got another segment coming up as well. What would you ask Jim Comey if you had the chance? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I don't mean in a nasty way. I mean, seriously, what would you want to know from Jim Comey? Give us a call. We got some lines open because we took a lot of phone calls, as Logan said. 1-800-684-3110.
Your comment. Julie Munson said on Facebook, why are the Democrats depending so much on Comey's testimony?
Because, Stan, they're running out of options to keep this going in their hearings because they demand, especially the left and the Democrats, a special counsel. And so after tomorrow, I mean, they can hold hearings, but it's going to be dull. I mean, it's not going to – because it's going to be a bunch of people saying, I can't talk because I got a special counsel investigation ongoing. We even saw some of that today.
This is the right question, Jordan, because from the very beginning we have asked the question, is this about answers? Is this about finding out what actually happened, or is this about keeping it in the news? And, Jordan, this is ironclad proof that it's about keeping it in the news, because initially Democrats said, look, if you give us a special counsel, we will be satisfied that we will find answers on this and this will go away. When that special counsel was appointed, Jordan, this started falling out of the news and you started seeing them clamor for some reason to keep it in the news. Well, there's no way to keep it in the news better than getting that fired former FBI director to come and testify. So tomorrow, I would suggest to you, this is me speaking, tomorrow's not about answers on the investigation. Tomorrow is about keeping this topic in the news. So you use the word circus. I think that's about what it'll be.
I mean, here's a bigger question. Jim Comey has already been asked these questions by a Democrat on the House, on the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senator Hirono out of Hawaii. And again, take a listen. By 25, he did this. This was May 3rd, just 6 days before he was fired.
So if the Attorney General or senior officials at the Department of Justice opposes a specific investigation, can they halt that FBI investigation?
In theory, yes.
Has it happened?
Not in my experience, because it would be a big deal to tell the FBI to stop doing something that, without an appropriate purpose. I mean, we're oftentimes... They give us opinions that we don't see a case there, and so you ought to stop investing resources in it. But I'm talking about a situation where we were told to stop something for a political reason. That would be a very big deal. It's not happened in my experience.
So there you go. I mean, I don't know what else. Again, Jim Comey's going to turn it around and say, he didn't maybe say stop. He said, could you? I mean, and he felt so uncomfortable around President Trump. Then, you know, it was right to fire him. He probably should have resigned because he couldn't effectively do his job as FBI. We called for him to be impeached. We believe that's how much he had done wrong as FBI director by getting involved in our political process so close to a national election. We got one more segment coming up. What would you ask Jim Comey tomorrow if you were on the Senate Intelligence Committee? We'll take all your calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you've got a question for Jim Comey that you'd like asked, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. A new bombshell from Planned Parenthood's latest report shows abortions are going up and abortion industry profits are skyrocketing. Every year, big abortion slaughters over 1 million babies. That's 2 babies killed a minute every hour of every day. It's horrendous and unthinkable. At the ACLJ, we're working to end these atrocities. We're directly engaged in the biggest pro-life cases in America. We just filed our critical reply brief in the biggest pro-life case we've taken to the Supreme Court in years to overturn a dangerous decision that could shut down pro-life pregnancy centers. The first of 2 major pro-life cases that we're taking to the Supreme Court this summer. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And to win at the Supreme Court, we need your tax-deductible support right now. Stand with the ACLJ. Support our work. Call 1-877-877. 989-2255 or go online, aclj.org.
Our broadcast, there's no love lost for Jim Comey. I mean, this has been ongoing for us. I look back actually at my tweets. I think we launched the impeach campaign back in October of 2016. So that was before the election. We didn't even know who would be the next president, but we believed he had acted so inappropriately.
Already, yeah.
First under the IRS investigation, which the FBI was overseeing, to the point where we had to take our clients and say, we're not complying with your investigation anymore because of obviously they were, and we found out through Lois Lerner's emails, trying to use the FBI to come after the clients. So that was Jim Comey. And then second, the way he got involved, that was kind of the it for us. And though really, you remember initially, it looked like it was going to benefit Hillary Clinton. Then he came back and reopened the investigation, which hurt Hillary Clinton and may have helped Donald Trump. I mean, again, you don't really ever know how much that affects people. But we called for his impeachment. Now, we didn't know if it would be Hillary Clinton as president or Donald Trump as president. We just believe that our FBI director should not be Jim Comey. So I think that takes our position because you can go back and look at that. It makes it unique from people who just say, I don't like him now or I don't like him because of this or that. We just thought he was not the right person for this job and he had demonstrated it. I mean, I don't know how many more times he's got to go out there and do it. He's already been fired, but he's going to try one more time tomorrow. The mainstream media is making this out to be like the Super Bowl. And I want to get to the phone calls because people have got questions. Before we get to the what would you ask Comey, let's take Mike's call first because that's important.
Mike in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, on line 3. You're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing there? Yeah, I was wondering if Jeff Sessions' recusal is forever or is there a process if he were to come back in this investigation?
You know, I think it would be, again, these recusals are really up to the individual themselves, like a judge makes the decision on their own. So could you come back? I mean, maybe you can. And politically, does that work, though? Is that gonna go over well with the American people after you took the recusal? Probably not. I think some of that, again, a new attorney general, if Jeff Sessions were to retire, like let's say this is ongoing in 2 or 3 years, and he's done with being attorney general. A new attorney general, and this investigation just won't stop. He could come right in. He's not recused and could end the investigation. But so can the acting AG, who is really the deputy AG, Rod Rosenstein. He can, after a certain period of time, he could come in and say, enough is enough with this investigation. So, again, is he recused forever? Likely in this scenario, not because of he has to be, but because politically to come back would be, I just don't know if it would be something that he could do. I mean, honestly, politically. And you have to balance both those when you are an elected official and in the executive branch of that elected official. Let's go back to the phone call.
All right, David's calling in California on line 1. David, you're on the air, and you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
I'm actually from Union Mills, North Carolina.
Oh, well, either way, North Carolina, you're on the air.
Okay, I've got a question for Comey.
Yeah.
A week ago today, I retired after 25 years from a position in the executive branch. And as a GS-15, and I can tell you the FBI director isn't any higher than that. I had to sign on the day I checked out a form saying I did not take any memos, any documents, any pictures with me. So my question for Comey is, how can he even legally have any of those memos that are actually the government?
David, that goes to the point where, remember, the memos were leaked from his quote-unquote friends at the FBI. So he may have complied with that. I'm not sure. I don't want to incriminate him with anything else I'm not 100% sure about, because right now we know that those memos were at the FBI, that he shared the information within them to his friendly colleagues at the FBI, and then they leaked it. And he's going to be asked about this tomorrow. Now, I don't know if he kept copies illegally. I don't believe. I think the special counsel has likely gotten them from wherever they are being stored, and that may be the proper way, like you explained. I think some of that will come out tomorrow, and more of that would come out through the special counsel. But I do want everyone to know that the Senate Intelligence Committee. And you got to ask this. I know it's led by Republicans, but you got to ask this. You know, at a certain point, they haven't even seen the memos, so they're going to be asking him about something they don't even have never even seen. It gives him again more space to kind of dance around, and I'm not sure that's a good thing either. Let's go back to the phones.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Donna, who's calling in Portland, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for all you guys do. My question for James Comey would be why he failed the American people in pursuing charges against Clinton and the Obama administration.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people have that question. You know, he basically laid out a case of how to prosecute Hillary Clinton and her staff and then said, but we're not going to do that. And this is where I think he gets in trouble, Than, is that he acted as both investigator, finder of fact, you know, to do the investigation, and prosecutor in that matter. But in this matter involving the president, current president of the United States, President Trump, tomorrow, he's going to try and say, all I can do is discuss the facts of our conversations. I am not going to tell you whether or not I believe that it was obstruction of justice. Yet he had no issue doing that to help Hillary Clinton out.
Well, making sure that it's about those other matters, Jordan, that's going to be up to the members on the Intel Committee. Senator Graham actually spoke about this a couple of days ago. He said if this whole hearing is only about the conversation that he had with the president, it will be nothing more than a hit job on the president. It needs to be about unmasking. It needs to be about his intervention into the politics. It needs to be about the memos upon the Clinton and Lynch meeting. I don't know if it will be, Jordan, but it will tell you how serious these members are. And to the caller just a second ago, I actually think it's worse, Jordan, if he did not leak this personally. I actually think it's worse if we still have people inside the FBI violating their oath of office for the purpose of covering for Jim Comey. Because if that's what happened, Jordan, that means that those people are still there. And if there's one good thing that maybe could come out of tomorrow, maybe it's us realizing that those people are still there and they need to be rooted out.
All right, let's get these final two calls of the day.
All right, let's go to Julian in Tampa, Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Appreciate what you do. I'm calling. I would ask James Comey, why is he backpedaling on his statement 6 days before he was fired, saying that he's never seen the investigation being pulled?
He's going to get asked that. I mean, I think, Julian, that is one he is going to get asked probably multiple times of, why did you tell the House Intel Committee that you didn't ever receive this kind of political pressure? That would be so extreme and outrageous. And yet now you're going to tell the senators that, in fact, you did. So, yeah, I think, Julian, that one is one that will certainly be asked probably a number of times, maybe by both sides, maybe by Democrat senators as well. Final call of the day. And then tomorrow, folks, Comey. Hearings.
Right, well, we're live. Will it be live? Will it just have ended?
It'll probably be like this one. It'll start before we're live and continue while we are live. So we'll continue to provide you updates. I think we'll be a good place to come to cut through to what mattered and then what was just filler.
All right.
Because a lot of it will be filler.
Let's quickly grab Darcy. You're on the air.
Hey, Darcy.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you very much for taking my call. I would ask James Comey, at the time you penned the memo, did you feel there was criminal intent from President Trump? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, because if he felt that way, he would have had a duty, or he would be in violation of the law, to report that. Darcy, I think he will be asked that again tomorrow. I think he will get questions like that. I appreciate everybody's very good questions for Jim Comey. Very good comments today on the broadcast. A lot to talk about tomorrow with Jim Comey testifying. And then let's get on to governing. Let's talk about health care. I mean, these counties in Ohio, folks, they're hurting. I mean, there's no choices. We'll talk about that all tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live. Definitely want to join us. We'll talk to you next time.
A new bombshell from Planned Parenthood's latest report shows abortions are going up and abortion industry profits are skyrocketing. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And to win at the Supreme Court, we need your tax-deductible support right now. Stand with the ACLJ. Support our work. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online, aclj.org.